Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
And it seems like, man, it's always something. Just because we focus our attention on something on this burner, there's still something cooking on a back burner, and North Korea would be one, and of course Iran the other. Good morning, John.
Morning.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for taking the time with us. So tell us what is going on in Iran as it relates to them developing a nuclear weapon.
So there's no evidence yet that they're developing a nuclear weapon per se. What they've done is take the latest step in a staggered set of steps to violate the JCPOA, or the Iran Nuclear Agreement. This is the fourth step that they've taken, and it's essentially a step to make active a bunch of advanced centrifuges that were dormant under the deal that they weren't allowed to use. So now they're up to using about 60 centrifuges to produce more uranium than they're supposed to have under the deal. They do this for a couple of reasons. Number one, they say this is about showing the United States that we're not going to just capitulate in the face of maximum pressure. And they're trying to pressure their European partners and Russia and China, who are the other parties to the deal, to get them sanctions relief as the United States remains out of the deal.
So when it comes to Russia, when it comes to China, they have sanctions, the sanctions that the president or that the United States requested be put on Iran as part of that Iran nuclear agreement. Are Russia, China, and the United States, were they at one point all on the same page as it relates to this?
Yes. So what happened in the lead up to the Iran nuclear deal is that the Obama administration got, you know, support from basically the whole world to cooperate in sanctions against Iran. Sanctions really only work when they're multilateral like that. And so it put a lot of pressure on Iran. Then the deal is produced, in which Iran makes significant concessions on its nuclear program, you know, gives up 98% of its stockpile, rolls back the number of centrifuges, et cetera. And in response to that compliance, in response to those concessions, we were supposed to provide sanctions relief. Now, Trump came into office and said, I don't like this deal. And despite the fact that the International Atomic Energy Agency, the UN nuclear watchdog, and the U.S. intelligence community, the military leadership, most of Trump's cabinet at the time said, look, Iran is complying with this deal. We shouldn't back out of it. And Trump did back out of it and impose sanctions. So now it's not that the rest of the world is cooperating with us in imposing sanctions on Iran. It's that we're threatening the rest of the world that if you do business with Iran, we're going to sanction those companies. And so we're imposing secondary sanctions on our allies in Europe and threatening them against Russia and China if they do business in Iran.
So when it comes to, and we're going to have to answer this after the break, if everything had stayed in place and the president had not decided to pull out of that agreement, would Iran be in the same position they are today in terms of proximity to having a nuclear weapon, or would Iran be less dangerous as a result of following the treaty? What would be the difference comparing and contrasting the two? We're talking to John Glazer, Director of Foreign Policy Studies at the Cato Institute. Iran, they took another step, I guess would be a way to put it, that could lead to a nuclear weapon. And we're going to talk about the functions of sanctions and all of this. And one question I have is, as it relates to Russia and China and the Europeans, can their lack of sanctions, and maybe that's what you were saying before, John, the relaxation of sanctions make up for what the United States has tightened up? And if that's the case, why is Iran doing what they're doing? 720, more when we come back. Time for traffic now on WWL. 725, Tommy Tucker, WWL, on this It's a very nice Wednesday morning. This would be a very nice Wednesday weather-wise. I hope you can get out and enjoy that. Our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll, we've been asking you, what with the opening of the new airport, do you love or hate flying? 52% are saying love it, and the remainders are saying hate it. We're going to talk about LSU and their place in the college football playoff rankings, and next hour we'll also talk about a scam that Mike Pearlstein over at Channel 4 uncovered, and it relates to staged accidents. We'll go into that in detail. Our guest now, John Glazer, Director of Foreign Policy Studies at the Cato Institute, about some news from Iran. President Hassan Rouhani saying that Iran's going to start injecting uranium gas in the centrifuges. And first of all, John Glazer, when it comes to determining what is nuclear material and what isn't, you almost need a degree in chemistry, do you not, to figure this out?
Yes. I mean, the experts that go in there with the IAEA are very highly trained.
So when it comes to Iran, and I'm sure I'm committing some kind of logical error here or legal error, but it seems to me the United States unilaterally broke the agreement with Iran, right? So now
right.
It seems as though Iran is unilaterally breaking the agreement they had with all of the other countries. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's unilateral. I mean, if you engage in a deal with me and you break it unilaterally, to me, that deal is kind of off.
With now, the Iran person that broke it.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. But Iran, here's the thing. The question you asked before break was pretty crucial, actually. If Trump didn't back out of the deal and reimpose sanctions, where would Iran be right now? I don't think there's any chance that Iran would have violated the deal, would have deliberately turned in the opposite direction from non-proliferation to, you know, proliferating its capabilities. I don't think that there would have been these major flare-ups over the summer in the Middle East with oil tankers being attacked and cross-border attacks between Iran and Saudi Arabia and downing drones and all this stuff. I mean, we're in a pretty perilous situation, and it's our doing. Iran had interests in remaining in the deal and getting benefits economically, and we've denied them those benefits. So it's pretty hard. I mean, back in April or so. Actually, it was in last year. Pompeo was asked, Secretary of State Pompeo, you know, what if this bullying Iran, this maximum pressure, just gets Iran to back out of the deal itself? And he said, oh, we're confident that the Iranians won't make that decision. Well, guess what? They have.
Mm-hmm.
And it took them actually one full year after we backed out and reimposed sanctions in violation of the deal. It took them one full year to decide to actually violate the deal. So they gave us a year of a cushion to get our act together, and we didn't.
But I'm not trying to belabor this. I'm just trying to understand it. So Iran changed their behavior as a result of the deal being broken by President Trump in the United States. However, they still had a deal going, this agreement with Russia, China, Europe, et cetera. And I guess, to me, then the logical assumption, and I'm sure I'm committing an error here, would be, well, then the deal, the only part that mattered about this deal was the United States being involved as opposed to Russia, China, et cetera. Because if the other countries were as equal, why would you then break the treaty with them and engage in behavior that they didn't want, that they signed the treaty to prohibit you from doing, but yet just because the United States broke it, Iran saying all deals are off, even though they were still bound by treaty with the other countries. Does that make sense?
Yes. So I think on the one hand, you're hitting on something correct, I think, which is that the fact that the other parties to the deal were involved really was not critical to there being a deal. It was really the United States and Iran. Now, it was important to have those extra countries because when agreements like this are multilateral and they have the buy-in of, you know, the P5 plus one, which is basically a set of the most powerful countries in the world, it adds legitimacy to the deal. It adds force to the deal. It adds longevity to the deal. And so, you know, those are the reasons that I think we were involved. The other thing that I think you're making a mistake here, which is that you're underestimating the economic power of the United States. Mm-hmm. when we reimpose sanctions on Iran, we also threaten the entire world that if you do business in Iran, we will sanction you. So no country is going to go, well, I choose Iran, the puny economy of Iran, versus the most dynamic and biggest economy in the world, the United States. So they always choose us.
Thank you, John. I appreciate your time. Complicated stuff. You made it easy to understand, easier at least. John Glazer, Director of Foreign Policy Studies in the Cato Institute. We're going to lighten up, talk about LSU and the first college football playoff rankings when we come back right now. Time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Dave Cohen.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.